Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. The trial scrutinizing Harvard's admissions practices comes to a close today. For the past 3 weeks, a judge has heard arguments in the case in federal court. The case was brought by a group called Students for Fair Admissions, which argues that Harvard discriminates against Asian American applicants in its admissions process. Harvard denies the charge, saying race is just one factor it uses to create a diverse student body. Both sides made their closing arguments today. U.S. District Judge Allison Burroughs will render judgment, and both sides say that if they lose, they plan to appeal, meaning the case could end up before the U.S. Supreme Court and have broad implications for affirmative action in college and university admissions processes. WBUR Edify reporter Max Larkin has been following the case, and he joins us now from the Moakley Courthouse, where the trial has been taking place. Hello, Max.
Hi, Callum.
So both sides made their closing statements today. What were the key points they tried to hammer home on the final day?
Well, you had Students for Fair Admissions, the plaintiff, going first, and they basically alleged a cover-up here, Callum. They said there was a report back in 2013 from Harvard that showed that Asian Americans faced a measurable disadvantage applying to Harvard. And further, they said that Bill Fitzsimmons, who's the really long-tenured dean of admissions at Harvard, basically didn't do anything about that finding, treated it as if it were business as usual. And they said the statistical fight is over, discrimination is really happening, and Harvard has an obligation to fix it. Then Harvard went. They denied that, obviously. They said the statistical picture is actually really muddled, really mixed, that Asian American women, for example, and Asian Americans from California actually have a little bit of an advantage in the admissions process, whereas other Asian Americans do worse. Their point is, if there's systematic discrimination going on here, why would it only apply to some Asian Americans?
I see. So if those were the key points, though, on the final day, maybe just step back for us. You've been in court a lot over the past month or so. Remind us of what sort of the core arguments were for both sides throughout the trial.
Yeah, I think, Callum, it's important to remember this goes back 40 years. There's this sense that, you know, quotas for racial groups are categorically against discrimination law, against people's civil rights. But Harvard has usually been held up as an example of somebody who uses race well in their admissions process in case law. They use it as a single non-predominant factor. And so what Students for Fair Admissions was alleging was that Harvard has gone a little bit outside that sort of purview and are starting to use race as a kind of decisive feature of applications and their destiny as people go before the school. And the question is whether Harvard is deliberately trying to suppress the Asian American population by tweaking its admissions process.
You know, one of the bummers for observers, Max, is that we can't follow you all live during the proceedings. You're not allowed to sort of live tweet what's going on. So I'm hoping maybe you can fill us in on what you have observed. Like, what was the mood in the courtroom today? Could you read if either side was feeling more confident than the other?
We did get to tweet a little bit, but we also had that sort of tea leave reading as everybody heads out of the courthouse and everybody's cameras and recorders go back on. Both sides, as you might expect, expressed a lot of confidence, but there is a sense, I think, in which Harvard seems to have gained the upper hand late in this trial. The Students for Fair Admissions, the group making the suit, started out alleging intentional discrimination, that kind of cover-up type thing. At the end, they started talking a lot more about implicit bias, maybe giving Asian Americans an unwitting advantage based on some stereotype you have about them. And I think that seemed like a moral victory to Harvard's attorneys.
So one of the things that we were all waiting for in the trial was to hear from the former Harvard president, Drew Faust. She, of course, was in charge when these allegations first were presented. And she finally took the stand yesterday in defense of Harvard's admissions practices. Max, what did she have to say?
Well, Drew Faust has an interesting role to play here. Obviously, she stepped down this summer after 11 years as the university's first female president, kind of a real fresh air of diversity when she came in. She says she wasn't involved in the day-to-day work of admissions, but that she says, and the numbers do bear this out, that she presided over an expansion in racial diversity at the school. And you can see the incoming class is becoming less and less white over the course of her 10-plus years in power. I think it's worth noting, Callum, that Faust is an award-winning American historian, and she really took issue with this idea that Harvard is still the Harvard of the 1920s that was looking for ways to remain kind of wealthy, white, and Protestant. She says that's really got nothing to do with the university that she knows today.
So, you know, one of the criticisms that we've read from the Boston Globe editorial board or in the New Yorker and other places is that Edward Bloom, who's the president of SFFA, has ulterior motives in this case. The charge is that he doesn't really care so much about the well-being of these Asian American students, but he's kind of using them to advance his real mission of ending all race preferences in university admissions, that he's a longtime opponent of affirmative action. Did Harvard use that at all in its defense?
You know, tellingly, Callum, I don't think they brought it up one time. Now, I was only here half of the days that the trial was in session, but my colleague Carrie Young didn't hear it either. Now, they might have done it. Edward Bloom has become maybe the country's most famous sort of legal provocateur. He keeps pursuing these affirmative action cases, trying to get it struck down in a categorical way. But Harvard didn't bring it up, in part, I think, because Bloom cuts a kind of genteel figure. He's an older man. He's got a little hearing aid. And I don't think they wanted to be seen to be picking on him. But they did focus on a 2012 article in the American Conservative by the billionaire kind of provocative thinker Ron Unz that made pretty outrageous claims about Jewish intelligence and African-American intelligence. And they said that's proof that this whole case proceeds kind of from a racist starting point.
Max, what was your read of the judge in this case, Allison Burroughs, as she was presenting her questions throughout the trial? Did you get a sense of how she's going to come to a decision or what her ruling might hinge on?
I think the judge did a very impressive job at playing her hands pretty close to her chest. I don't think she asked a lot of informative questions. This was a trial that was suffused with data and different contentions, a lot more talk about R-squared values than I ever hope to hear again in my life. But she just asked probative, informational questions. And my sense is she's going to be looking really, really hard at those numbers and trying to determine whether this is a textbook case of discrimination or not.
What do you think that each side had to prove to her? And we should mention that this is not a jury trial, that this is in the judge's hands.
Well, there was some dispute about the legal bar that these two sides had to clear. As I said, Students for Fair Admissions rolled into court and said, basically, Harvard has known for 5 years that they discriminate and they haven't done anything about it. They left the courtroom saying, well, there might be implicit bias. Alumni interviewers, guidance counselors, admission officers might look at an Asian American student and say, hey, this kid is shy or retiring, and that might not be a fair structure, something that the federal government would want to get involved in. I think what Harvard said is no, discrimination has to be a deliberate project with some kind of organizing intention to it based on a 10-year-old precedent, 14-year-old precedent. And they said, Students for Fair Admissions didn't get anywhere near there. So the judge will have to go back to her chambers and think about intent and whether there's a strong enough pattern to rule against Harvard here.
So Burroughs will have a lot to consider, Max. Do we know what the timeline is like? When might we expect a ruling?
Oh, Lord, no. My understanding from veteran court watchers is that judges' decisions tend to move in cycles. There's an important deadline in March, so a lot of eyes have already turned in that direction. But, it could come earlier, but I think our expectation is, given the volume of data and the important precedent that this would set, particularly in anticipation of appeals, we should be expecting to wait rather a while on the outcome of this particular trial.
Well, appeals may be the key word there, right? Because whenever this trial ends, it actually probably won't be the end. Both SFFA and Harvard have said they plan to appeal. If they lose, we could be headed all the way to the Supreme Court. We could be looking at a precedent-setting case for affirmative action. How big is the scope and the implications here, Max?
I would say that the scope could be tremendous. I mean, going back to that case law history, you've got quotas. We've decided those aren't okay. 40 years ago, exactly this year, Harvard system was put forward as the preferable alternative, using race in this kind of tweaking way to give a little tip to build diversity that was seen as not only worthy but an admirable example. So a bunch of private institutions and some public ones have followed Harvard down this road, little tips rather than a more sweeping approach to racial preference. If Harvard's system is struck down, I don't necessarily see, from my layman's perspective, where racial preference can go from here. It may be that universities like Harvard will have to look to other ways to build diversity, whether those be socioeconomic measures or drawing people based on geography. These are ideas that have been floated. Harvard looked at them. They said they wouldn't work. They would have to look at them a lot harder if they got a negative finding in the highest courts.
That is WBUR Edify reporter Max Larkin. Max, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Callum.
Stay with us. Coming up, Queen's Freddie Mercury. Was he the greatest frontman of all time? I'm Callum Borchers, and this is Radio Boston.